Maybe Street. 1. The owner's son drove us to a garden where the house had gone, its tombstone a chimney and grate, orchard skeletons black against winter grass, and old double daffodils, petals bursting out of buds, lime green through age, not yellow, bulbs split and spread by the plough. He watched, eyes quick, leaning on his flash car. You laughed together as we picked, his girl and I. Bitter milk from the stems ran up our sleeves. Took us back to the mill cottage, 3 rooms and a lean-to. A 7-foot Canadian and the woman who came up to his waist chucked out the week before we moved in for sticking logs into the grate, propped the other end on a chair out into the room. The walls were black from their burnings. Snowflakes fell through the hole in the wall, hissing as they hit the bath water. The Canadian's wife would squat in the copper, fire bubbling beneath, boiling her backside. I'd have climbed in there too, if I'd fitted. She worked with her man on the mill, when I walked silently between the stacks to steal loose bits of 4x2. I could see the long and the short of it, shapes in a blizzard, one each end of a log. Tug free a piece glued by frost, retreat to the kitchen, push it in the firebox, sit the other end on a chair. Burns on my arms where the stove kissed me, as I pushed pans to where the iron glowed red. Flesh sizzled, stuck to the top, bubbles on skin, then peeled away like rings of sunburn. Doctor traced them with his fingers when he took my blood pressure, thought I was a battered wife, looked at me with soft-eyed concern. A bucket of bulbs coated in clay left on the doorstep. Dig a hole in the cold soil under the hedge. Place them in gently, side by side, like burying dead kittens. See the crane go by, front wheels off the ground. The Canadian and his wife hanging onto the fender to balance the log. The owner's son is swinging, his eyes on the window where I make a hole in the condensation to see him wave. Came back once, mill closed, cottage gone. Bulldozed by the boss after his son was impaled by a timber leaping from the belt. Dead before he hit the sawdust. Wouldn't have felt a thing, others said. Drove around, up through yellow paddocks, looking for the tombstone chimney and a field of lime-green daffodils. 2. She came with the first blowfly, sat on the good chair, and told me I needed a pram, mine would not be big enough for 2. I could have one her last had grown out of, and a table for the kitchen too. Her man delivered a chrome and black carriage, smelling of plastic and puke, a laminex table with rusty legs, its top a mouldy mottled green, and a fat-bellied puppy thrown in. When she was born, she said, a litany, they did not think she would live, head the size of an orange, knitted it a doll's bonnet, wrapped her in sheep's wool, placed her in a shoebox, shoved her in the warmer under the stove. From the blue-red mottle of her skin, I thought they'd left her there too long, but that was just the Bombala kiss. Women bloom early there, faces too close to the fires they stoke all winter. I scrubbed the pram and covered tabletop in stick-on scarlet poppies, pushed the pup away from my daughter's rusk, set a bowl of japonica in the window, a sign of faith that spring would come. They want $20 for the pram, you said, over chops and mash. Half a week's wages. What are they going to do, repossess it? We'll need it, though. I'll slip him 10. She brought me a blue plastic bath when my son was born. I sat it on the transformed table, wondered when we'd be brought to book. His head is big enough, she said. Could be a grapefruit, I thought, or possibly a shaddock. When we moved to the coast, her man had space for a load, made out there was a $10 note in the space under the dresser. That's your wages, then, wiped the grin off his face. I'd like my table back, she said, sniffed, when I gave it with baked-on poppies where I'd set hot pans. I'd have returned the dog, but it went to live at the baker's. I'd see it waddling along full of day-old bread when I wheeled the kids down the street. I was thinking of her the other day when I stood in front of the oranges. Was her baby head a Valencia, tinged with green, a great glowing navel, or a pippy mandarin, sour as buggery? 3. Sometimes my mother rang, Person Mary's next door. Purse would come round, she sounds awful sick. I picked up the phone, recognised the thickness of sherry in her voice, missed the desperation that made her think I had anything to give. We were separated by Big Jack Mountain and the lack of a car, in miles about 30 down the goat track, but I might as well have been on Mars. She spoke from her misery in the schoolhouse. I answered from my exile on Maybe Street. The blaze from the furnace lit up my nights. By day the sound of the saw, a whine in my vertebrae. She imagined she could gain salvation through my daughter in Bombala, and the grandchildren too. 4. Purse's Great Dane stuck its head over the fence, drooped into the pram, laid its jowls in my daughter's lap. She clasped the huge head, wrapped her fat legs around it, looked up at me and shouted with joy. I was reflected in this happiness, my smile a reverse of folds in the dog's brows, its innate gentleness a quality I would never possess. My brother got a lift over the mountain, came to make some money on the mill. We gave him a bed on the settee. After a week of stacking logs and sweeping sawdust, he took his yellow pay packet down the street. Pushing groceries from Permuans in the pram, we followed him back up, laughed at the plastic bag on his arm, reckoned it blued it on drum and motorbike magazines. But he showed us a pair of grey school trousers. Mum's putting patches on the patches of my other ones. That night the bedroom door crashed against the wall and he stood there, naked in the night horrors, screaming. You took him by the hand, led him back, laid him down, made soothing sounds, until his crying died away. We could have walked to the hospital, but we borrowed the foreman's car when pains came 2 minutes apart. The doctor held up, cord still attached, a boy with brow as lined as the dog's, against a backdrop of burning stacks, seen through the window of the labour ward. His hands held up in supplication, spine arched against the hell of birth, hot northerlies, and a timber mill on fire.